Welcome to Learning English on the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver. Today on the program, Dorothy Gundy and Phil Dierking take us to a national park with everything. We finish the program, as always, with an American story. But first, we hear about the year in sports. Here are Alice Bryant and Dan Friedel.
The year 2016 will be remembered for a long time by sports fans around the world. The Summer Olympic Games took place in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Major sports leagues celebrated champion teams that had not won titles in a long time. And the world mourned the death of boxer Muhammad Ali.
Earlier in the year, reports coming from Rio de Janeiro said the country was behind schedule in building housing and event spaces for the Olympics. Environmental scientists said the water where some swimming and boating competitions would be held was not clean or even safe. And athletes from some nations said they would not travel to Brazil because of worries about the Zika virus.
But once the Olympics began, the excitement overshadowed any problems with infrastructure. American athletes, including Michael Phelps, Katie Ledecky, and Simone Biles, won record-breaking gold medals in the first week of the Games. Of course, athletes from around the world impressed, too. Jamaica's Usain Bolt won 3 gold medals for the 3rd Olympics in a row. He won the 100 and 200-meter races and the 4x100-meter relay.
China's Fu Yuanwei became famous for her honest interviews with reporters after her swimming events. Almaz Ayana from Ethiopia was a surprise winner in the 10-kilometer race. She set a world record in the event.
People who follow soccer, basketball, and baseball will remember 2016 as the year longtime losers finally won, especially those from Leicester, England, Cleveland, Ohio, and Chicago, Illinois. Leicester City won England's top-level soccer championship for the first time in its 132-year history.
The big win by Leicester City previewed another historic victory, this time in the National Basketball Association. In late June, LeBron James led the Cleveland Cavaliers to their first title.
As the NBA season was coming to a close, the European Soccer Championship was only just beginning. And one of the biggest stories came from Iceland. No one expected Iceland to make it far in the tournament. Its team was ranked 34th in the world. But in one of the biggest upsets in European soccer history, Iceland defeated England 2-1. In the final game, Portugal defeated France, however, to win its first ever major title.
As the seasons changed from summer to fall, Americans centered their attention on Major League Baseball. The Chicago Cubs were having one of their best seasons ever. The team had not won a World Series since 1908 and had not played in the series since 1945. In 2016, the team made it back to the World Series. The Cubs played the Cleveland Indians in the 7-game series. The Indians had not won a title since 1948. Cleveland won 3 of the first 4 games. The team was 1 game away from winning the series, but Chicago came back to win 3 games to clinch the World Series.
Champion boxer Muhammad Ali died in June. He was 74 years old. Ali was more than just a boxer. He was one of the first athletes to become a worldwide celebrity. Ali was born Cassius Clay in Louisville, Kentucky, in 1942. He started boxing as a 12-year-old and won a gold medal at the Rome Olympics in 1960. In 1964, he won his first heavyweight boxing championship.
Ali became a Muslim after the fight. He changed his name. He spoke out against the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War. He was banned from boxing for 3 years. Some of his most famous fights were outside of the U.S. He won memorable matches in Manila in the Philippines and Kinshasa in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
In his later years, Ali suffered from Parkinson's disease. The brain disorder affects body movements and speech. But he remained a public figure and attended many major events. He lit the cauldron at the start of the Atlanta Olympic Games in 1996 with a shaking hand.
Don King promoted many of Ali's boxing fights. He remembered Ali in this way: "He will never die. Like Martin Luther King, his spirit will live on. He stood for the world." I'm Alice Bryant.
And I'm Dan Friedel.
This week, in our national parks journey, we explore a vast area with mountains, beaches, forests, and glaciers. The area's huge range in both rainfall and elevation make it one of the most diverse parks in America. Welcome to Olympic National Park. The park is located in the western state of Washington. It is on the Olympic Peninsula in the northwest part of the state. The park covers more than 400,000 hectares. It has several different ecosystems. Visitors will find temperate rainforests, glacier-covered mountains, and almost 120 kilometers of wild coastline.
The Olympic Peninsula has seen travelers from many countries throughout history, including Mexico, Spain, France, Russia, and England. Many travelers from these countries arrived in the late 1700s. They were searching for the Northwest Passage. The sea route connects the Northern Atlantic and Pacific Oceans by way of the Arctic Ocean.
Early settlers reached the Olympic Peninsula in the mid-1800s. At first, people built homes on the coast. This area was easier to access and had good land for farming. Later, people started making expeditions into the center of the peninsula. And in 1938, President Franklin Roosevelt signed the bill that established the Olympic National Park.
8 Native American tribes are closely connected to the area. One tribe, the Makah, has a long history of whaling. The U.S. bans whaling, but the Makah tribe is permitted to continue practicing this tradition in small amounts. American courts also gave Native American tribes the right to continue their traditional fishing practices in the area.
Olympic National Park has meadows and lakes. It has glacier-fed rivers and mountain peaks that rise more than 2,300 meters. Each area of the park offers visitors something special. The Elwha Valley is in the central part of the park. It is the Olympic Peninsula's largest watershed. A watershed is an area of land that separates waters that flow to different rivers or seas. Long ago, the rivers in this area held the most salmon outside of Alaska. The area also was home to bears, eagles, cougars, and the Tlalum Native Americans. In the 1920s, a growing community of settlers built two hydroelectric dams to provide energy for the local economy. They decreased the water in the rivers, which caused the fish population in the area to decrease. This affected the other animals that depended on fish for food. The community later decided to fix these problems. In 1992, Congress passed the Elwha River Ecosystem and Fisheries Restoration Act. Both dams have been removed, and the National Park Service is using fish hatcheries to increase the salmon population.
The Ho River is on the west side of the park. The river is formed from melted glacial ice on top of Mount Olympus. The river is 80 kilometers long. It empties into the Pacific Ocean. The area receives about 400 centimeters of rain each year. It is a temperate rainforest. Because of the amount of rain, many different types of plants grow in the Ho rainforest. From mosses and ferns to huge Sitka spruce trees. The Ho River Valley is protected from any logging or development. Hurricane Ridge is a mountain area in the northern part of the park. It is easy to enter and provides incredible views of the Olympic Mountains. The ridge has many hiking paths. In winter, people come here to ski. They also come here to take part in other fun winter activities, like sledding and snowboarding. Hurricane Ridge usually has snow from December through the end of March. Visitors must be prepared for icy roads and severe weather.
The westernmost part of the park is Pacific coastline. Olympic National Park has many breathtaking beaches. Rialto Beach is known for its tall sea stacks. These formations are tall towers of rock standing in the sea. North of Rialto Beach is Hole in the Wall. It is a natural arch that has been carved by the powerful sea. Claylike Beach is known for its white sand. It also has three national wildlife refuges, which protect the area's bird and fish species. The coastline areas offer hiking and camping. They are some of the most popular places in the park.
Olympic National Park offers difficult mountain hikes. It offers relaxing beaches and exciting walks through lush rainforests. There is truly something for everyone at Olympic National Park. I'm Dorothy Gundy.
And I'm Phil Dierking.
Next up, Shep O'Neill narrates the holiday story, The Gift of the Magi, by American writer O. Henry.
$1.87, that was all. And 60 cents of it in the smallest pieces of money. Pennies. Pennies saved one and two at a time by negotiating with the men at the market who sold vegetables and meat. Negotiating until one's face burned with the silent knowledge of being poor. 3 times Della counted it. $1.87. And the next day would be Christmas. There was clearly nothing to do but sit down and cry, so Della cried, which led to the thought that life is made up of little cries and smiles, with more little cries than smiles. Della finished her crying and dried her face. She stood by the window and looked out, unhappily, at a gray cat walking along a gray fence in a gray backyard. Tomorrow would be Christmas Day, and she had only $1.87 to buy her husband Jim a gift. She had been saving every penny she could for months, with this result. Jim earned $20 a week, which does not go far. Expenses had been greater than she had expected. They always are. Many a happy hour she had spent planning to buy something nice for him, something fine and rare, something close to being worthy of the honor of belonging to Jim. There was a tall glass mirror between the windows of the room. Suddenly, Della turned from the window and stood before the glass mirror and looked at herself. Her eyes were shining, but her face had lost its color within 20 seconds. Quickly, she pulled down her hair and let it fall to its full length. Now, Mr. and Mrs. James Dillingham Young had 2 possessions which they valued. One was Jim's gold timepiece, the watch that had been his father's and his grandfather's. The other was Della's hair. Had the Queen of Sheba lived in their building, Della would have let her hair hang out the window to dry, just to reduce the value of the Queen's jewels. So now Della's beautiful hair fell about her, shining like a brown waterfall. It reached below her knees and made itself almost like a covering for her. And then quickly she put it up again. She stood still while a few tears fell on the floor. She put on her coat and her old brown hat. With a quick motion and brightness still in her eyes, she danced out the door and down the street. Where she stopped, the sign read, Madame Sofronie, hair goods of all kinds. Della ran up the steps to the shop, out of breath. "Will you buy my hair?" asked Della.
"I buy hair," said Madame. "Take your hat off, and let us have a look at it." Down came the beautiful brown waterfall of hair.
$20, said Madame, lifting the hair with an experienced hand. "Give it to me quick," said Della. The next 2 hours went by as if they had wings. Della looked in all the stores to choose a gift for Jim. She found it at last. It surely had been made for Jim and no one else. It was a chain, simple round rings of silver. It was perfect for Jim's gold watch. As soon as she saw it, she knew that it must be for him. It was like him, quiet and with great value. She gave the shopkeeper $21, and she hurried home with the 87 cents that was left. When Della arrived home, she began to repair what was left of her hair. The hair had been ruined by her love and her desire to give a special gift. Repairing the damage was a very big job. Within 40 minutes, her head was covered with tiny round curls of hair that made her look wonderfully like a schoolboy. She looked at herself in the glass mirror long and carefully. "If Jim does not kill me before he takes a second look at me," she said to herself, "he'll say I look like a song girl. But what could I do, oh, what could I do with $1.87? At 7 o'clock that night, the coffee was made, and the pan on the back of the stove was hot and ready to cook the meat. Jim was never late coming home from work. Della held the silver chain in her hand and sat near the door. Then she heard his step, and she turned white for just a minute. She had a way of saying a little silent prayer about the simplest everyday things. And now she whispered, "Please, God, make him think I am still pretty." The door opened and Jim stepped in. He looked thin and very serious. Poor man, he was only 22, and he had to care for a wife. He needed a new coat and gloves to keep his hands warm. Jim stopped inside the door, as immovable as a dog smelling a bird. His eyes were fixed upon Della. There was an expression in them that she could not read, and it frightened her. It was not anger, nor surprise, nor fear, nor any of the feelings that she had been prepared for. He simply looked at her with a strange expression on his face. Della went to him. "Jim, my love," she cried, "do not look at me that way. I had my hair cut and sold because I could not have lived through Christmas without giving you a gift. My hair will grow out again. I just had to do it. My hair grows very fast. Say Merry Christmas, Jim, and let us be happy. You do not know what a beautiful, nice gift I have for you." "You have cut off your hair?" asked Jim, slowly, as if he had not accepted the information, even after his mind worked very hard. "Cut it off and sold it," said Della. "Do you not like me just as well? I am the same person without my hair, right?" Jim looked about the room as if he were looking for something. "You say your hair is gone?" he asked. "You need not look for it," said Della. "It is sold, I tell you, sold and gone too. It is Christmas Eve, boy. Be good to me, for it was cut for you. Maybe the hairs of my head were numbered, she went on with sudden serious sweetness, but nobody could ever count my love for you. Shall I put the meat on, Jim? Jim seemed to awaken quickly and put his arms around Della. Then he took a package from his coat and threw it on the table. Do not make any mistake about me, Del, he said. I do not think there is any haircut that could make me like my girl any less. But if you will open that package, you may see why you had me frightened at first. White fingers quickly tore at the string and paper. There was a scream of joy, and then, alas, a change to tears and cries, requiring the man of the house to use all his skill to calm his wife. For there were the combs, the special set of objects to hold her hair that Della had wanted ever since she saw them in a shop window. Beautiful combs, made of shells, with jewels at the edge, just the color to wear in the beautiful hair that was no longer hers. They cost a lot of money, she knew, and her heart had wanted them without ever hoping to have them. And now the beautiful combs were hers, but the hair that should have touched them was gone. But she held the combs to herself, and soon she was able to look up with a smile and say, "My hair grows so fast, Jim." Then Della jumped up like a little burned cat and cried, "Oh, oh!" Jim had not yet seen his beautiful gift. She happily held it out to him in her open hands. The silver chain seemed so bright. "Isn't it wonderful, Jim? I looked all over town to find it. You will have to look at the time 100 times a day now. Give me your watch. I want to see how it looks on it." Instead of obeying, Jim fell on the couch and put his hands under the back of his head and smiled. "Del," said he, "let us put our Christmas gifts away and keep them a while. They are too nice to use just right now. I sold my gold watch to get the money to buy the set of combs for your hair. And now, why not put the meat on?" The Magi were wise men, wonderfully wise men, who brought gifts to the baby Jesus. They invented the art of giving Christmas gifts. Being wise, their gifts were wise ones. And here I have told you the story of two young people who most unwisely gave for each other the greatest treasures of their house. But in a last word to the wise of these days, let it be said that of all who give gifts, these two were the wisest. Everywhere they are wisest. They are the Magi.
That was Shep O'Neill narrating The Gift of the Magi by O. Henry. I'm Katie Weaver for VOA Learning English. Thanks for joining us.